We are mostly live and completely local. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Good morning. Welcome to the program on a beautiful Wednesday morning. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, Metro South Podcasting. Hey, we're live at Charlie's Restaurant on Belmont Street in the city of Brockton, right at the entrance to Brockton High School, where people go to school all day. And we say hello to Becky, Susan, Joey, and LaQuisha. Joining us this morning, I'm really thrilled to have my good friend radio buddy, David Cassell, is here this morning. Good morning, David.
You're one of my brother from another mother. How are you?
Good.
Who loves you, Ronnie? Fran Drescher.
The other mother. The other mother does.
And our other mother.
And the
does.
Other mother.
That's right.
And also a gentleman who you've seen on radio, television, and in films and motion pictures. My good friend Mark Chappetta. Good morning, Mark.
Thank you, Ron. I was wondering if you were going to throw good in front of friend like you did David. So thank you.
Yeah, did I?
He's very insecure that way.
I can't recall.
Right.
I don't recall.
I am.
That's just how he is. He needs constant validation.
I do.
Even though he is America's most talented private dick.
He's America's most wanted private dick.
Yeah, indeed he is.
Most wanted dick.
I didn't say that.
All right, now clean it up, Mark.
I know.
Thank you.
I know. That's the sound of David's plate being thrust upon
yummy.
The table.
You can pick it up with your hands.
No, I can't.
You mush meatballs with
no,
hands.
Look,
you
no, look, David, I don't care about that.
No.
You pick it up with your hands.
No, you can pick it up with your hands. I don't care.
No, I won't.
I just don't want it like squishing through your knuckles.
I'm not using my because you don't trust my.
No,
hands.
It's fine.
But your hands look.
That's fine.
I'm not doing it.
Your hands look.
I wanted to give.
If
you the
I
bacon
if I were to go over to your house for dinner, certainly that wouldn't happen. But if
no,
I did,
believe me, it will never happen.
Your hands look cleaner here, this week than they did the last podcast.
I don't want to touch them.
I wiped them on my ass
Mark,
before
would
I
you
came
like
in.
One?
I'll take a stick of bacon.
All right,
have a stick.
A stick of bacon. I love bacon.
It's a slab,
it
by the way.
You know, bacon is the
slab.
Highest.
It's called a slice.
Right. The bacon is at the highest price it's ever been at in the history of bacon.
Pork is very expensive now.
Do you know why?
It's like $6-7 a pound
because
of bacon.
Because they have free-range pork.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm. They don't keep the pigs anymore in a pen.
Run wild, run free, Porky.
They go to movies, restaurants.
What do you think of turkey bacon?
Bingo!
Is turkey bacon like eating a fat-free cookie or something? Like, if you're just going to eat bacon, you might as well have bacon.
There's no point
there's no
to turkey
thing.
Bacon.
Really?
It's like chicken fingers.
There is no point to turkey bacon.
Why?
Flat, boring, uninspired, and it still has a lot of sodium.
Well,
eat the pork.
Right.
You
I don't
have to
mind
put more sodium into it in order to make it
unless you're a member
like
of the kosher tribe.
Do you know what I did like 2 weeks ago?
Wait a minute, Ronald. What are you doing eating the bacon?
Because I'm not kosher.
Right. What?
See, they know.
They knew.
Mm-hmm.
They laughed.
I was cooking breakfast for my family a few weeks ago, and I cooked up a couple pounds of bacon. A bunch of kids, you know. And kind of went through that. And I had bacon grease still in the skillet.
Oh, yeah.
So I took the turkey bacon, and I fried it. I fried the turkey bacon in the bacon grease.
That's brilliant.
It tasted amazing.
No. Let me tell you something.
Yes.
Okay, you could have put your shoe into the bacon
right?
grease. Anyway,
yeah,
come on, take an excellent.
Tasted good.
Wait a second.
Bacon grease.
Just wait a second. Just wait a second. Right. You're giving me the S thing because I said, why do you not eat the yolk? And you said, oh, that tiny little piece of the sun is very
kill
high.
You.
It'll kill you.
It's going to kill you.
But cooking stuff in mounds of lardy bacon grease, that's healthy. Answer?
Mark?
Yeah.
You want to feel that one?
When you're done with the bacon grease, put it in a cup and watch the evolution of the grease.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, when you eat bacon, that's what's happening in your stomach.
Yeah.
For that you don't digest, it turns
awesome.
To...
But we lived off of lard as kids.
You know what the wonderful thing is,
what are you talking about yolks like that for?
Because it truly, your egg yolkage is more dangerous to you...
No way.
...than the bacon
no
fattage.
No way.
Oh, no, that's been proven scientifically.
By whom? Give me his name.
By scientists who do studies.
Oh, the scientists who do studies.
Case studies.
All these meaningless studies you always see online.
Case studies.
When I went on to Mrs. Obama's website to check the relative
Michelle.
Health...
Michelle.
It's
okay.
We're not on first name basis.
All right.
I insist that she call me Attorney Casella, right. and I will call her Mrs.
Your phone is interfering with our podcast.
Oh, is it? I'm sorry. Yeah,
it's all right.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
I hear it. Holy
yeah.
crap. I'll stop it. What, do you think she's hot, Michelle Obama?
It's still interfering. I can hear it ticking.
Yeah, there's nothing going on. Right?
Well, I don't. It's still. It's receiving data, and it's sending data back.
All right. Maybe that's the aliens.
Put some tinfoil on your head, Ron. It'll protect you.
Maybe we're a little too close to the high
school.
Answer
the question. You think she's hot?
Oh, yeah.
She is. She's got a nice
she's
figure.
Fine. She's fine.
You know?
She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Barry is a fine-looking man as well.
Yeah. Well, out of all the presidents' wives.
In a very...
But of all the presidents' wives in recent history, she's got to be
I liked,
one of
I liked
Jackie Kennedy.
Well, I like Jackie Kennedy. I also like Barbara. What's the
Excuse
Bush lady's
please?
Name?
You like
Are you
Bush?
Serious?
Not Barbara Bush. The other one. The
George Washington one?
No. The other. No. Not the Quaker Oats guy.
Oh, okay.
No.
The other one. Oh, what was her
I
name?
I forget her first name.
Jeez.
The last Mrs. Bush.
You thought she was hot?
Well, I thought she was a lovely woman.
What was her name?
She was a good-looking woman.
Rose?
And they had beautiful daughters.
Rose Bush.
and they had beautiful daughters.
Yes, they did have beautiful daughters.
Yes. Her father was named Harold, you know.
Harold Bush.
No, they used to call him Harry.
Oh, Harry, yeah. Right.
Well, yeah, I can't. Nancy Bush?
No, Nancy Reagan.
That was Nancy Reagan.
Yeah, you know, I really don't know what her. I don't know much about her bush.
No.
That was a stretch.
Trimmed? Manicured?
I don't
know.
Yes.
Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, can we please?
Because we haven't even done anything.
Do you manscape?
No.
I'm just curious.
God, no. I scratch the area, but I don't
do
anything
manscape at all.
Creatively.
He manscapes.
You think he manscapes?
Well, I know you do.
I do, absolutely.
Well, certainly,
he goes to a salon.
Yeah, and I do it at home.
He goes to a salon. He has his hair done by women with large breastises.
Yeah, you do have your
And then he has his beard trimmed.
Right.
Yeah. And then he gets the waxy, and he gets the petties.
I get whacked.
Yeah.
So the wackies and the petties.
So what's your point?
That was just, I don't know.
Why?
Dawned
and
on
the
me.
Happy endies. All of those.
Just dawned on me if you manscaped.
No, why would I?
I shaved my chest.
No one's been there since 63.
Per request of my fiance 2 weeks ago, I shaved my chest.
Oh, see, now it's going to grow back. Now your chest is going to grow back.
Yeah, is that kind of metrosexual, shaving my chest?
No, you know what happens? Your tits grow. They do. They really do.
I was just getting real. You know why I shaved it? Because I was getting very discouraged looking down at a big
gray.
That was
hair.
That was it.
Really?
Grays haven't landed in the pube area yet. How long does that take?
Thank God this is a podcast.
I just want to make note that I'm still eating.
Yeah, that's true.
I know that I'm the only one eating.
Yes.
But
yeah, when you
I
did the pube
eating,
thing
sorry.
And he's eating the stuff.
I'm sorry. I saw one on his head.
That's one of your manscaped hairs, right?
Yeah.
That's one of your escapee hairs. All right, let me.
Like Clarence Thomas's secretary.
Ron, don't leave that last piece of bacon there.
How about
staring
you?
At you.
You have it.
You want to play spin the bacon and whoever it lands on gets
no,
eaten?
No, because then I might have to kiss you. Let's just leave it there.
All right, go ahead.
That'll be the tip. Here's a question. Now, as you know, unfortunately, Joan Rivers passed away.
Yes, sad.
On Thursday. And had a star-studded funeral, but that's besides the point. What happened was, as we understand it, she went for an endoscopy because she had a raspy voice, and she's a stand-up comedian, so she wanted to see if that could be cleared up.
Right.
It was not an operation. It was simply an exploratory situation. They knock you out for that so they can shove the camera down your throat, very similar to a colonoscopy where it's throat opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave her stuff to knock her out. One of them was propofol.
The Michael Jackson Happy Time drug.
Yes.
Upon
receiving that, within a short period of time, she had respiratory problems and her heart failed. They rushed her to the hospital, and they put her into an medically induced coma, because they didn't know how long because you can't go more than like 5-10 minutes without breathing, your brain cells go. Took her off of life support. She wasn't doing it on her own, and they decided that's vegetation stuff, like lifeblood. So the endoscopy place says, hey, and by the way, they've only been open for a year, been in business for a year. But she's had thousands of elective exploratory things. So it was nothing to her. So the question is, when you go into, and with all this happening, all I thought of was, well, how does this affect me? So
that's what I thought.
Yeah.
How is this going to affect Ronnie?
Yes. Oh, I thought you.
No, you.
Thank you.
No, I worry about you.
So here's my problem. Because at my age, I have to do a little camera up the ass thing, as you all should, by the way.
Again.
And they give you that.
Eating.
Really? Eating.
Over
oh,
here.
Sorry.
You look like you're done.
Enjoy your sauce.
I am now. You're right. Okay. You're very observant.
But here's my point.
That's why you're a trained observer. You're right. I'm done.
When you go into a hospital or even to a medical clinic like this, you sign a piece of paper that says that you understand that should something happen with your whatever, that you know you understand that these are risks that are involved. My question is, something like this happens. The family has not said that they're going to sue the clinic just yet. But my question is, for people like us, if this had happened, is that piece of paper legally that binding, or in a situation like this, is it no? Not necessarily.
Well, it's not a waiver of your rights. All that it is an acknowledgement that you receive certain information, and then that piece of paper is going to be used as evidence of what we call informed consent.
Yes.
Because in a medical malpractice case, there's basically two ways to be able to go after somebody for improper care. One is actual medical negligence, where there's a mess up on the table that doesn't fall within acceptable medical standards. The other one is lack of informed consent, which means, hey, you did something to me that I didn't know was going to be happening. I didn't consent to it, and therefore you harmed me. It's the nature of a battery upon the person.
Correct.
You see, so when hospitals do the informed consent statement, they try to put all of the nuts and bolts in there so that
they can't be sued.
It's pretty ironclad.
Right.
So the issue would be whether or not, under these particular circumstances, it was proper informed consent.
Right.
So we don't know.
So in other words, but if it is proper, if she signs the form, which they would argue she signs like almost every week.
Yeah.
Then we're totally not liable for whatever because you knew when you were doing this.
No. Again.
So they can still make a mistake. But
well, let me tell you this, okay? It's possible. Again, let's separate out the two things. Number one, did she have informed consent for what was going to be happening to her and and reasonable risks that an objective person will be worried about?
Yes.
And possibly even her own subjective concerns under state law there. That I don't know.
Okay.
So did that happen, and was she not fully informed about what could have happened so that she couldn't make an informed decision about whether to have the surgery or not?
Right.
That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's going to be an issue that's going to be investigated by both the Board
Wasn't there already a statement that was issued yesterday saying that they weren't negligent, or is it still premature?
Their statement was that.
Their statement.
Oh, well, yeah. Their statement would be that. Yeah. And then there's the separate issue as to whether or not the doctor's care deviated from acceptable medical care. Mistakes are made all the time.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that it's malpractice.
Right.
That has to be understood. Doctors make mistakes all the time.
Yeah.
It does not
What's the difference between that and malpractice, then?
That if it doesn't fall within the scope of reasonable medical care, you see, then it's negligence. It's possible to make a mistake
Be liable for?
No, and have it be within the scope of reasonable medical care, of acceptable risk within medical care. That's my understanding of it. So just because something happened, it does not necessarily mean that the doctor is going to be found negligent.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, most verdicts in medical malpractice cases are for the doctor. They win.
Mm.
They win.
I see.
So very, very hard to prove. Very expensive to prove.
Yeah.
It's quite traumatic.
Interesting.
So they usually end up settling somehow prior to that? Or?
Well, I don't know the statistics on that. I know that insurance rates on doctors' malpractice are outrageous.
Yeah.
Right.
So, of course, certain payouts are made. Yeah. But I think it's case specific, really, yeah, as to whether or not you're going to. But I'm telling you, insurance companies are not shy about defending cases. They're not shy at all.
Right.
Because you have now also the doctor's reputation on the line, the hospital's reputation on the line.
Right.
And if they feel that they could win it, then they might want to win it, because you don't want to become known as a hospital with bad doctors.
You know, and here you have a woman that's had, like I said, hundreds of procedures, so she's... she's very well aware of what she's walking into as well.
I know that when you go in for a surgery, you go in for testing about 4 to 5 days ahead of time, mm-hmm, to make sure that you can undergo this procedure safely. So they do everything they can to make it safe. But, yeah, my question was basically that, Dave, because you signed it. Oh, Dave, are you
I'll
finished,
keep it,
Dave?
Yeah, it's good. Thank you.
So he's
thank you.
Keep
thank
it.
You, Amanda.
Do you want some more coffee?
Do you want
yes,
to,
I will.
Do you want to take it home?
She's Mindy today.
Do you want to take it home, Dave?
She'll always be Amanda.
We'll take that home and have it for lunch.
Thank you.
Okay, so interesting.
So she had a send-off yesterday, right?
Well, can I just say one more thing?
Sunday.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to say one more thing about the Joan Rivers thing. I think that maybe one of the bigger issues is going to be whether or not they had suitable emergency equipment on site to be able to handle the issue that she had. That's going to be very, very – I think that that's
good
going to be
point.
A, that's going to be
good
a major
point.
Issue because they had to transport her to do things to her that apparently this facility was not able to do. And if that turns out to be the case, that could be a problem.
Correct. And how swiftly did they contact?
Right.
Because it's almost an every second count situation.
Right.
Hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
Hmm.
Poor Joan.
Wow.
Poor Joan. I've been watching a lot of clips of her.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of stuff trending around, and she was. I didn't realize, or I had forgotten, that she had that big fallout with Johnny Carson, and they didn't speak for years because she went and had her own show.
When he went after her on the
really?
His program,
yeah.
I watched that show.
Was it pretty bad?
It was rough.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he handed her the torch.
She says he lied.
Yeah.
About what?
About her not calling him ahead of time.
That's that she does say that. Yes.
Because he got ticked off.
Yeah.
And said in public that the reason why he got ticked off is because she did it behind his back, and he was so good to her. And she said, no, I called him.
Well,
I told
he was a nasty man, though, by all accounts, right, from what everyone says?
Well,
I
knew him. I knew him.
You
knew
Johnny.
Yes. And
you
he
meet
was,
Johnny?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know the story?
No.
Oh, yeah. I was a movie theater manager in New York when he was doing a show in New York at the major premier theater in Manhattan, where they would have the spotlights and all that stuff.
Sure.
And
it was pornos.
It was pornos. Good pornos, though.
It was Times Square pornos.
And, yes.
Carson would come by on a regular basis to see the movies, and what they did was his limo would pull up on the side, and we'd bring him in through a side entrance, and we wouldn't let him into the theater until the lights were down and he was escorted in, so no one would know that he was in the theater watching the movie. And this happened on quite a few occasions, but for most of those occasions, he would be ushered down to my office, and he would wait there for like 10, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few times where it was just me, him, and then his assistant would leave to take calls or something. So we were like alone in the room a couple of times, and it was fascinating. He was one of the shyest men I ever met in my life, and I'm not really sociable. I wasn't back then at all, so I guess we had kind of the same personalities, and we both felt comfortable. But man, he was shy. He constantly did this, constantly played with his fingers, played with anything in sight. He was the most uncomfortable man in the world. Yet when he was on his doing a show, he was the most comfortable. So it was very. I just.
So you never had any. You never had any.
He never hit me.
No, you never had any.
What sex? No.
Issues with him where he was nasty to you.
No, not
on the contrary,
all.
What did he do for you?
Yeah.
He
invited
you
me to the show. I used to go to the show.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Sure.
So you've been to the set of the Johnny Carson show.
He was my connection to Dick Cavett. He set me up with him, and I worked with ABC a little bit with Cavett.
Wow.
Thanks to him. So, I mean, you know, we
How
did
old
know
were you then?
Other.
In your 20s?
I was almost.
Yeah,
I was
so you're
very young.
Ambitious very young. Guy. Yeah, I mean, I have the Johnny Carson DVD box set
nice.
I purchased a few years ago,
that's
and it's just really neat. To
that's so nice.
Kind of watch those old.
It's classic stuff, right?
I love that
it
stuff.
Is classic.
I really do. I'd love to get the I'd love to get the box set with Dean.
James Dean.
The other guy that had the show there, with the smoker. What was his name?
Oh, yeah.
What, you know what I'm talking about?
Dean Martin.
Oh, Martin Lewis. I'd like to get his show.
I think he was one of the most talented singers ever. Yeah. I think far beyond Sinatra.
Far better than Sinatra.
Yeah. Totally.
And I like Sinatra.
Yeah.
Dino had a great voice.
Yeah, so...
And he had what Sinatra didn't have, which was this magnetic charm that Sinatra never really had.
No.
Sinatra was popular because of the mafia and because of his popularity.
And because he was abrasive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was not... he did not draw you in like really? Dean Martin did. Oh, man.
Yeah, see, I mean, you both have just a few years on me.
Two.
I just really remember stuff through reruns.
Three.
And clips, you know. Yeah. Sure. But I remember the Carson show vividly.
Me too. Let me clarify the
Carson thing.
Yeah.
Carson wasn't saying that Joan Rivers never called him.
He was saying
that when she did call him and said, I want to let you know I'm doing a show on Fox, that was when he was pissed off. He said, why didn't you call me before when you were just considering it? We could have talked before you made a decision. So she did inform him before she went on the air, but only after she had done the deal.
But why did that show flop when she was so successful in his?
Well,
because there were no female talk show hosts and it didn't work.
At that time?
And Fox was just a baby network.
It was at that time, so there wasn't...
They weren't even on all day. I think that was their first entrance into anything nighttime.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about Carson being that way?
That's the way he was. I mean, he was just very...
He had plenty of other... male comics that went on his show that did guest hosting, that went on to get their own programs that he didn't slam like that.
Correct.
Well, Stern slams him all the time. Howard Stern never has nice things to say about maybe because he was such an advocate for Joan, which he did, did the eulogy.
Yeah. Possibly.
He said he was just a bitter, mean person.
I didn't know him like that. I didn't know him that well.
I feel that it was probably inappropriate for him to go after her publicly.
Yeah.
Probably was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, can I ask you a serious question? What was his choice of snack food at the movies? Did he get like popcorn with gummy bears,
I have no idea.
You know, Skittles. I don't think there were Skittles around back then.
I don't know.
Just curious if what he liked. You know, because you had to usher him in. He must have liked to have something.
Well, I didn't usher him in.
Did you detect the odor of alcohol?
Yeah, did he?
No, there's no alcohol.
Did he have hot women with him?
A lot of cigarettes. A lot of smokes.
A lot of the ciggies.
We all smoked back then.
What was his cigarette of choice? You recall?
Do not recall.
Do not recall.
I mean, this wasn't like yesterday. I recall what I had for dinner yesterday.
I understand.
Did he pay for his movie ticket?
Yeah.
I don't even know that. You got to understand.
Yeah.
You got to understand.
Or was he comped? I'll be showing up, taking up all your time.
I don't know.
Did he ever slip you a 20? And say,
No, son, for letting me sit here and waste your time for half an hour every day.
Well, then you know what? Johnny was a jerk, okay?
I'm sure Johnny was let in as...
Although Johnny helped you in your career, so I guess that's okay.
He did.
So to shift a little bit, to go down that road, so would you say that, and we'll ask Dave, and I'll give you my answer, would that be the most, famous celebrity that you've met and come in contact with in your life?
Well, wait.
Well, there was Groucho Marx.
Yes.
Yeah, when I was doing the Dick Cavett show, Groucho Marx was...
Oh, Groucho Marx, really?
Yeah. And I was introduced to him, shook hands, that's it. But,
that's awesome.
That was pretty cool.
Awesome.
That was pretty cool.
What's yours? What's your most impromptu celebrity
occurrence?
All right.
I have to go back to Ron.
All right.
Oh, no,
In your life?
Yeah.
Your life,
it'd be Ron.
It would.
Okay. But now, Ron.
That's pretty bad.
No. Aretha Franklin's bodyguard is probably the highest level of celebrity that I've ever gotten close to.
Aretha Franklin's bodyguard.
Because he went and got me her autograph.
Wow. What snack foods did she eat?
Anything she wanted.
I see.
And plenty of it.
I see.
And plenty of it.
Now, she was related to Ben?
Yes. Little known fact.
I thought not.
Within the family tree constitutional founding fathers.
Family tree.
Groucho must have been pretty old back then.
He was very old back then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did he speak? Or was he silent?
Yeah.
What was he?
Oh,
shuffling?
He spoke. He spoke like very like.
Really? Now, what do I have? I have probably four quick ones. I think impromptu.
Well, just pick the biggest one.
The coolest one for me?
No, the biggest one.
Well, you decide who's big. The coolest one was when I was probably 21 years old. I was playing volleyball at Venice Beach with a bunch of my friends.
Venice Beach,
21 years old with some buddies and some attractive women.
Mark, hot chicks, yeah.
And then, out of nowhere, staggers up to us in a banana hammock, which is a Speedo.
We know.
Was Rodney Dangerfield.
I love Rodney.
In a Speedo.
In a Sprite can that obviously had no Sprite in it.
I believe that.
And 100%.
I totally believe that.
He was 100% in character. We couldn't get rid of him. He hung out with us for like 45 minutes.
That's so awesome.
He was flirting with the girls. He was in, you know, doing the hey, you know, if you know, it was it was really neat.
Wow.
That's a cool one.
So we
in
got
Speedo
to,
yet.
He was in with his big protruding belly and he was just and I remember vividly. He had just wrapped up a movie which wasn't popular, but it was called Ladybugs. It was a soccer movie.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he was kind of like plugging it to us.
I see.
So that one. Then locally, a few years back, I was leaving.
Didn't help.
Yeah, I was leaving a Stones concert with my youngest son's mother.
Where were
many
you
years
now?
Back where? At Fenway Park.
Fenway Stones.
And we were crossing the street. We kind of like darted out in the street. We probably weren't paying attention, and we kind of almost got hit by an SUV.
That's fun.
Black tinted out SUV.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the passenger's window rolls down, and Whoopi Goldberg says, "Hey, be careful where you're walking."
Wow.
Bitch.
Just switch.
So that was the second one. Then,
yep.
And then I was once in the Celebrity Center doing work, and Tom Cruise just kind of walked past, you know, came up to me and started talking. So that was kind of business. That's not impromptu.
It's pretty cool.
Business with Tom
Cruise.
Yeah. So, but I think Rodney was the best.
Did he reach out to you to join the cult?
He didn't, but he shook my hand and gave me a hard time for having a Red Sox hat on.
Oh, yeah, you shouldn't ever do that.
You are like the Forrest Gump of celebrity
I like the Rodney
people
one.
Meeting
I like the Rodney one the best, though, because it was just
Rodney's
out
awesome.
Of the blue. He just walked up to us on the beach, and if we didn't have hot girls, he wouldn't have stuck around.
No.
Wow.
No.
So he was really
dirty as
really?
All can be, and 100% character.
I'm just loving that.
Do you think he was doing character, or that was actually Rodney?
I just think that was Rodney.
I think so, too.
Probably just Rodney.
Yeah. I just think it was Rodney. It really was. And he was humble, and he was nice, and he was liquored up.
Well, that helps.
Just staggering down a beach in public. Yeah.
You know, when you, Ronald.
Yes.
Indicated that Carson was the big one for you.
Yeah.
I would challenge that, only
because.
Oh,
no, we don't know that.
No, Soupy.
Oh, Soupy Sales,
Soupy
yes.
Soupy
Sales,
yeah.
Soupy. Yeah,
To many
Carson
of us,
was bigger than.
Well, you see, to me, Soupy will always have a
Soupy was special.
Bigger place in my heart
he was
than Carson ever will.
True,
because I feel that Soupy was a genius.
He was
in a different way than Carson was.
But when you talk to Soupy, it was like he's Soupy.
Yeah.
And that persona of stardom like is just like. Wiped out like really fast.
Where'd you meet him?
I met him at Fairleigh Dickinson University in Teaneck, where I was living.
Yeah.
And at this point, I was just an older teenager.
Right.
And we did some actual skits on stage during the show, and Soupy was like the headliner. But, you know, I wasn't even going to Fairleigh Dickinson University. I was just doing a lot of theater because I was gay. Yeah. So.
So cool that you were gay once.
Yeah, but then it didn't work.
It's okay.
So I just, you know, I said,
choices, my brother, choices. Certainly, certainly. We all make our choices.
So anyway, and I hope that's a joke. So anyway.
It's not a choice. Go ahead.
So, I met him backstage. And then when I was doing the Cavett thing, I would go to the other stations and I went to NBC and Soupy was doing a radio show on NBC. So we had, you know, recognized each other from probably like 3-4 years previous.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of struck up a very small little friendship. And that was it.
You have to understand that Ron looked very different back then than he looks now.
Very different. Very different.
Now,
you look like a Jewish Q-tip back then.
I was as skinny as a Jewish Q-tip.
Do you regret any decisions, with those encounters? You know, because it sounds like they weren't just, random things. Some are more professionally based. You know, did you get any opportunities or could you have gone in a different direction creative wise or, worked on the Soupy Seals show or?
No. No. I was way too young for that
You're
for him. Yeah. No, he was all set. His show is very small. He was at Channel 5, yeah. Which was an independent station, WNEW in New York. And it was a very small place.
But it was a great station, though.
It was a great station. Oh, they had some big stuff.
Oh, they had
going
some
on.
Great stuff.
Yeah. But it was
I grew up with all of that.
Yeah. But it was a very small crew and staff in that building, and they all used the same studio.
Yeah.
There's only it's like a cable studio almost, only a little bit larger. It wasn't really.
But that's not a name that everyone, I'm 45 years old. I know who Soupy Seals is. But if you ask a 35-year-old and a 25-year-old,
not
a 15-year-old,
not a clue.
I think as you go down.
Not a clue.
That's what happens.
They're just going to be like.
Not a clue. That's what happens.
You know, I remember back in, and this was kind of a neat story, back when I was in California in the early 90s, I was taking some acting classes. And our acting coach said, okay, today we have a special guest coming in, and it's going to be Andy Garcia from
Wonderful.
The Godfather.
Wonderful.
And you know, we did. You know, we'd team up with a partner. We'd get our sides, which is a script, and we'd have to rehearse. Then we'd have to wait our turn, and we'd go out and we'd perform in front of the celebrity, and we performed in front of Andy Garcia.
That's fun, man.
On this particular day, it was a scene where it was a couple of kids that were stoned going for a ride, and they were stoned. And I forget what the actual dialogue was, but the kid that I had to do the scene with, I had just met that day, and. Yes, I did. I did try, but I didn't inhale. He said, "I have a few marijuana cigarettes in my vehicle."
For the craft, Mark. It's
fine.
He goes,
"Would you like to go? Would you like to go out and we'll smoke them and we'll go over our scene?"
You know, we're not alone here.
I know. I don't care. Right. Yeah, I mean, this isn't something that I have. I broadcast
it's okay.
this before.
It's been more than 7 years.
Oh, it's fine.
Yes.
Okay.
As you're returning, I advise
like
you to just
years
go ahead and confess.
I was like 21 years old. So we went out, and they weren't just marijuana cigarettes; they were actually roaches. So therefore, technically, legally,
really,
it's probably if it was in Massachusetts, it would have been
tiny
it would have been decriminalized.
Yes.
So we smoked the joints, and we went and did the scene. And Andy Garcia was like, that was just so realistic.
How did you guys?
He critiqued us, because we did the scene, then he would critique us, and we got some praise, and
very
the
nice.
Scene went very
nice.
Well.
Very nice.
It was very
nice.
Realistic, the way we act like we were high.
Because you were actually high.
Right.
Yeah. Method acting?
Yeah.
That's what method acting is.
Yes, it
there
is.
You go.
Yes, it is.
There you
so
go.
It was kind of fun, too. Anyways,
can
this
open
isn't
up that drawer over there? Oh, they don't open. Okay.
Give it a real tug there, Mark. Yeah. There you go.
It's faux. It's faux.
It's faux. It's but faux. Yeah, I mean, celebrities are human beings. Who cares?
I understand. You
know, I don't care.
I'm just as thrilled to be sitting in front of David Casella and Ron Van Dam as I have been.
And we are thrilled to be sitting in close proximity to Mark Schepeta.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just a private eye.
Well.
So, Ron, I know that you don't really want to talk about much of this, but I just want people to recall what day tomorrow is. Can we just say that?
Yes.
That tomorrow
Absolutely.
Is September 11th.
It is.
All right. That's all that I'll say.
You want to say the where were you? Since we're kind of doing that theme. Where were you?
I'll do it.
Everybody does it.
You go first.
I was on the fourth floor of Brockton District Court.
I was very nearby then. Go ahead.
Yeah, and someone just came running off the elevators, one of the attorneys or ADAs, saying what happened, and everyone just kind of started to shuffle and panic and went
did they stop the
lobbies
trials
and looking for...
Mark, I have a question. When you say Brockton District Court, you mean the old one?
No, it was the new court.
It was the new one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the new court.
I forget because...
Fourth floor.
You know where I was?
It just must have had opened.
Right. I was at the satellite office of the Registry of Deeds, which
was
in the old Brockton District Court.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's why I say.
Wow.
I don't... You know, I remember I just... left and went. I lived in the city at the time, and I just went home and was glued to the TV for
we all were.
You know, first of all, my kids were being shuffled home while I was heading home and was able to get the kids out of school and all that.
Wow,
but, it was pretty scary.
It's intense,
you know. And hey, one of the craziest accountings of 9/11 was Howard Stern's, you know, and a lot of people thought it was shtick. At the time.
That's right.
Like, geez, this guy stoops that low?
Yeah.
Right.
That's
right.
That's
right.
That's what happens when you do that.
No. I bring it up just because we're now dealing with a whole new threat.
Yeah.
With ISIS.
Yeah.
With ISIS, ISIL.
ISIL. Local roots.
Out in the
Stoughton
Middle
roots.
East, and now we're finding local roots, a Stoughton guy, and possible recruitment out of Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we've learned a thing, that we've gone through all of the security ramp ups and taking off our shoes and not being able to bring tiny bottles of liquid onto airplanes.
Yeah.
Here we are now, and we have neighbors.
Well,
Ron, you're getting bored with this conversation?
No, not at all.
Being
not
potential terrorists and
right,
right
to bear arms.
In
man,
country
I have my guns close by.
And that's not a joke.
No.
You know, you're dead serious, and I agree with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have two weapons in my house, and they're loaded, locked up in my safe,
right,
and ready to go.
That's right. Because remember, Mark, when you need the police in seconds, they're only minutes away.
Yeah.
And right?
And you know what's really cool is I'm not this extreme, but one of my best friends, Kenny, we'll call him, he's one of those really to-the-right conspiracy theorist type. He has his whole house ready for an incident.
Like
he
sure
has, you know, he has, what are those military foods called?
MREs. Smart man.
He has unlimited water supply. He has probably over 100 rifles, ammunition, everything in his home. And he's ready to go. His house is handicap accessible for me if I need to make it over there with my sons. And
that's why he did it.
It's my shelter. And it's not too far from where I live.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. A lot of people.
I don't know if I would go to that extreme, but I think at least having an awareness of the possibility.
True.
And it's not even just based upon terrorism. Yeah. It's based upon what if the grid goes down?
Yeah.
What if the electric grid goes down? What if a satellite has an accident? Right?
Look at it from my perspective.
All the electronics
with power wheelchairs.
Right? What do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do?
I have manuals as backups already.
Yep.
So you shoot people?
Hmm?
What does that have to do with?
I'm sorry.
You get a generator. What are you talking about?
You get a generator. Well,
what
if the grid? Then you're going to run out of fuel, and eventually that generator is not going to work.
So you buy guns?
Well, here's the point. Here's the point.
Martial law.
You look at a place like Ferguson, whatever state it was in.
Missouri, right?
Yeah.
And you have an incident occur, whatever kind of an incident that you might want to call it. All right. And what happened? Immediate looting. And immediate damage to property,
right.
And immediate attacks on people.
Yep.
It takes absolutely nothing
right.
for people who are your quote-unquote neighbors one day to turn right. into people who are knocking on your door saying, you got any food in there? And I'm telling you, that'll happen within a week. And it will happen within a week because it has happened.
And people, and you're going to have armed guards at your garden. See, we have gardens.
Well,
I have grapes.
I do have armed guards.
I have enough grapes to think I could survive my family could survive off grapes for.
Well, you'd have to, son.
Yeah.
You have
figure
to.
It out. You figure it out.
Yeah. But nothing wrong with having a supply of food,
I think it's
a
very,
of water. It's smart.
I think it's a very realistic
I have a nuclear weapon silo
possibility
just in case.
For something to happen, and that's what they're going to
Your
attack.
Issue, my friend, is that you never want to go to the extreme on anything. And so, you never do.
Well, you don't know sexually.
Well, that's a different matter.
Okay.
That's a different matter, my little stud muffin. But, we're talking life and, other issues. We're talking other issues. You don't like to go to the extremes. You don't like to see the extremes happen because you think that it will never happen, and so it's kind of silly to talk about it, but it's not.
When the extremes occur, sometimes all it does is delay the inevitable anyway. I mean, you can't shoot everybody that comes to your house continually.
Yeah, you can.
So it's kind of like that show Under the Dome.
Yeah, you can.
You ever seen that show Under the Dome?
No.
That Stephen King?
No.
Spielberg show, the dome comes down over
the
town of Chester Falls.
That was very. Did you see the first episode?
I did.
It was very insane because it split a cow in half.
Split a cow in half.
And it's pretty like, whoa,
yeah,
this is a little graphic.
A
little graphic for television.
The second season, and it's kind of gone a little bit out to left. It's kind of jumped the shark, so to speak, if you heard that terminology before.
I have indeed, Fonzie. Yes.
Yes. so it's kind of jumped the shark where now the dome has supernatural powers and things of that nature, and there's an egg and all that stuff. But they're running out of supply.
I would never have thought.
They're running out of.
Yeah, I would never have thought that would be a series that would sustain itself. I mean, maybe a two-hour movie, maybe.
Yeah.
But series,
lead character in it is the gentleman that was in Breaking Bad. You watch Breaking Bad?
I love Breaking Bad.
He was the DEA agent in Breaking
All
Bad.
All right.
Yeah.
So he's the
lead guy.
What do you
mean?
The Kardashians have a series that has sustained itself for.
Yeah,
a long
I know.
Time.
And a
totally
Spielberg.
Different.
A Spielberg,
totally
that's true.
Stephen King show can't sustain itself.
Who?
It's Spielberg and King are the executive producers of this. It's
that's why it's on the air.
Lots of times they write the first season, they don't even know what the second season's going to be about, and they start writing it midstream.
If you're Spielberg and King, you can do anything you want.
You do whatever you want.
They'll buy it. Period.
You do whatever you want.
I heard The Following's not coming back. Did you watch that show?
No.
Kevin Bacon.
I don't follow.
Yes.
With
good
the,
show.
Yeah.
I don't think it's scary.
Yeah, I don't think it's coming back for a new season.
I actually watched on Netflix all at once.
Great. Yeah.
Which
great
is
you gotta
just
watch it,
graphic.
No, I don't have to.
Yeah, graphic
for you.
Said I got to watch it. I don't have
terrifying.
To.
Terrifying.
Why don't you watch
well
it?
Well acted.
I don't
want
watching
it.
No, I'm not watching it.
Right.
Kevin
anyway,
Bacon is
this
one
is
of
your
the most
show.
Kevin Bacon is
one of
very underrated actors. He's one of the best that there is.
He's got a hot wife.
Who is his wife?
Kyra Sedgwick.
Oh, she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And who has her own TV.
She has a very funny mouth.
Yes. But there's something sexy about her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In a Katharine Hepburn sort of
way.
I don't like large mouth women.
You don't like your
large
mouth women, do you?
To make your...
I don't.
Oh, excellent Freudian analysis there.
I tend to date women with small mouths.
I'm just saying.
Relatively speaking.
Yeah, relatively speaking.
Yes.
No, I don't care for the Carly Simon thing. I don't care for the...
So she got that horse tooth jackass look?
Anybody with a large oversized mouth, I don't care for.
Speaking of jackass.
Yes.
I watched...
good morning.
Grandpa Point 5. Bad Grandpa. Point with
Johnny
Knoxville. Okay.
Very funny.
That was genius.
Very funny, yeah.
What a genius movie. Yeah. What a genius movie. And it was sort of like a semi-documentary about how they made that movie.
Right. Have you seen it, Ron?
No, I have not.
Oh, Ron.
You got to watch it.
What's the name of it?
Ron. Bad Grandpa.
Bad Grandpa.
Okay.
Bad Grandpa. Johnny Knoxville gets made up as an old guy, and he looks like a 75-year-old man.
Wow.
And he wanders around and does shtick, and it's absolutely hysterical.
It's very funny.
It's all improv. It's all, it's just hysterical.
Yeah. Good. It's a little,
It can be a little explicit.
Yeah, it's a little explicit.
Oh, then I wouldn't like it.
Right, that's what I was trying to say.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm very puritanic.
Yeah. Are you back watching NASCAR?
No, I can't make it through a race anymore. I fall asleep. Yeah. I got to admit it. I started to admit it.
Well, at least the football season's starting for you. Okay, at least hockey season will be gearing up, and I got a couple of weeks for you.
I was never so bored as I was watching the first Patriots game on Sunday.
You watched it?
Yeah.
Did you watch it just to...
No, I wanted to watch it.
I walked into my gym Monday morning.
Terrible.
And the owner of my gym is another one of those conspiracy theorist type hardcore Republican guys.
Good.
And I said, hey,
People know you live in Massachusetts,
I'm like, hey,
by the
Ed,
way.
What you think of that Pats game? And he just went off on a rant saying, I don't watch the NFL. It's the feminization of America.
What?
And he was just going off on a tangent. I go, Ed, it's actually what's the game?
Yeah.
I think he... I think
this
his
is
point,
what conspiracy people do.
I think it was his point because of the rules in the, how they
the rules
protect
are
the
more
quarterback
so than ever
now.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And the concussion
rules. And it's that whole and how women have infiltrated the NFL.
That's right.
And all that. That was his
how
whole
women
point.
Have infiltrated the NFL.
Let's just get it out there. That's right.
What are you talking
Ed's
about?
Right.
I mean...
What women? Reporters?
Yeah, from every angle.
How are these players entitled to special compensation for concussions? How do they do that?
Yeah.
Let's talk about this Rice thing.
I need
thing.
To ask an attorney.
Yeah, right.
Let's talk about the Rice thing here. Yeah, get an attorney for me, will you?
What a punk bitch he is. Yeah.
What's the first thing I do on an investigation? You send me out on an investigation when something happens.
That is correct. First,
what's one of the first
you usually
things?
Have a few drinks.
Yeah, other than...
okay, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, that and a cigarette.
And a cigarette.
But what's the first... If I go into a location, what's the first thing I'm asking for?
Go ahead. Tell me.
Sorry.
Video.
Oh.
Videotape.
Video.
Video. Video, 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 video.
Let's go to the tape.
Let's go to the tape.
That's right.
Yeah. And please, they didn't know that a tape within?
They knew.
Right.
They knew.
Yeah.
Well, Goodell knew.
Goodell was interviewed last night. You heard his...
And Goodell said he asked for it. I don't... Yeah. Please.
Please. What is it with football players? What's up with them?
Well, it's not all football players. It's just some guys are jerks.
It's not all football players, but it tends to be more of of that sport, I would think.
Well, it tends to be I hesitate to even say that because I've known some little skinny dippy guys that that had beaten the crap out of the girl. And it's not a race thing,
so it's not.
Well, first of all, I understand that because these are fairly famous people among the sporting world. So when something happens, it seems like it's the whole thing. But I do tell you, and I was telling young Mark Schepeda this earlier before you showed up, not on the air. I said, you know, Mark, these are people. These are young kids who are making tons of money, who are already thrown off of their life game because they're, like, making too much money. They're way too entitled at this age.
Yep.
But on top of that, they are trained on a daily basis to tackle, be aggressive, rip it apart, handle everything in an aggressive, physical manner.
Yes.
And they work out accordingly. And it's, like, drilled into their head. It's like being in the Army 24-7. Attack, 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 attack. Don't let it get by.
It's not like being in the Army, but go ahead.
Well, all right.
It's not like being in the Army.
In the sense of that you are, I won't use the word brainwashed, but it is your lifestyle, and it is, that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, no. But I don't see, you know. No.
I wasn't in the Army,
just,
I don't
the
know.
The Army is different.
All right, let's move beyond that.
I don't think that's a great example.
Well, I do. I think they are mentally trained to use
MMA fighters. They knock, aside from War Machine, who just got picked up on warrants, are these MMA fighters going out? I'm an ex-MMA fighter. I'm not taking down
my difference
between
no, not you.
Right. But and just to make a couple of distinctions. I think that you are correct in terms of football training.
Right.
Football. I get that. Army training, no, because along with the ability to hurt things and break people, they instill a code of honor within you.
Right.
In the same way that most of your MMA fighters, at least
there's a
going back
a martial arts discipline,
the martial arts mentality of respect, etc.
Right.
Okay, but the NFL, I get what Ron is saying. Yeah. Right. Not to mention the fact that. I think that we're kidding ourselves if we don't think that steroids are still being
used. I was just thinking that. There's drugs involved, there's steroids.
You got roid rage, you got all that. Right. But mostly, you have very entitled, very spoiled, sometimes, young men who, from the age of, let's say, 15, okay, are seen as being just the golden child.
Yeah.
And then they grow up within this bubble, and this is what happens. It's being a spoiled brat.
That's why I always respected, and he got a lot of heat for his mouth, was Kevin Garnett when he was here with the Celtics, because he came up at 18 years old and right into the NBA, and he never got in any trouble.
Nope.
He never heard of anything, and he used to mentor kids. As he got older, he would mentor these young athletes and teach them how to spend their money and how to act,
they're not in front of the media.
That,
but
no,
there was more
all.
Of a propensity in that field to enable one to get into that frame of mind is what I'm saying. And these women, this is a very difficult conversation. We're talking about domestic violence, but many women gyrate toward these large sports figures because of not necessarily the money, but because of the immensity of the situation.
Right.
And once you're in it, it's hard to leave. I mean, once you're stuck in a relationship, I mean, we all know it. Even if there's no violence involved, it's difficult to leave a relationship.
And what happened right
Bless
after?
Bless you, Mark.
You know what? I mean, excuse me. And from an illegal and investigative standpoint, you know, what's a no-no when you're conducting an interview? You interview people separately. You don't have the two of them in there together.
Uh-huh.
And the NFL brought them in.
Right.
Please. I mean, it was all contrived. It was. Yeah. She realized that he was the cash cow. But let's see, you know who's jumping in and backing him up right now, who's already come out and spoken in Ray Rice's defense. And maybe it's because he saw some potential in his right hook, is Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Oh, jeez.
Another documented wife beater.
Yeah.
He's actually getting in his corner, which maybe he's trying to recruit him, for another career.
In the hitters club,
That's just a piece of crap.
That's just obnoxious. Yeah. But you are correct, Ronald, in terms of
the violence sport
of the delicate rope, the line that we walk when we talk about spousal abuse and domestic violence.
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, there's a part of you, and I'm the father of daughters, who says, "Look, just get out of there.
Yeah,
just don't take that nonsense. Who raised you? Why are you allowing this to happen to yourself?" There's part of me that does that, but then there's the other part of me that says, "No, you know what? If you don't have it in your head that you're empowered not to have it be that way, it's going to be that way until you get out until you get saved. Yeah. I'm curious as to what was happening with her immediate family. Where are her brothers? Right. Where's her father? Mm-hmm. Where are the uncles? Where's her mama?
He's supporting them all.
Well, he probably is.
Right.
He probably is. And, man, that's a sad commentary, yeah. man. Yeah.
Now, do you do any defense? You do some criminal defense work as
I
well.
I do it all. No. Way back in the day? No, I don't.
You know, it's not often
because they're all guilty
right.
anyway.
Well, it's not often that I get.
I knew it.
It's not often that I get get rattled, and I have to take a certain approach because I do a lot of criminal defense work, and I interviewed a girl a few weeks back on a kidnapping assault with intent to murder case, a real nasty case. I've never seen a girl so beat up in my life, and I'm obviously working on behalf, and I'm representing the counsel who represents the gentleman that allegedly assaulted her. And I went and sat with her for 2 hours and interviewed her, and all she wanted was him back. And it's just, I actually at times will kind of cross over and say, look, you don't deserve this to happen to you. I'm not supposed to. But, in certain situations, I'm very thick-skinned. I don't really get bothered by my cases, whether it's incestual or sexual assault. But there's certain ones that kind of make me question.
Absolutely.
Good. What I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And I'll throw in a little, some little fatherly advice or words of wisdom there to these people. And it was tough. Domestic violence is, and you get this a lot on DV cases. They'll call 911 because it's like an excited utterance there. They're in the moment. And then all of a sudden they realize, well, that's the person that's paying for me. Yeah. If he goes to jail, then my child support stops.
And it goes deeper than that, I think.
It goes a lot deeper, yeah.
That's the man I love.
Yeah, it's the man I love.
He didn't mean it.
He didn't mean it. Yeah. Yeah.
He'll be sorry in about 5 minutes.
This is what this girl said to me.
It's my fault.
I have been with him for 15 years. It's the only time he's ever hit me. He must have just, it was random.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that to be a lie.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, she doesn't want anything more to happen.
Just like this girl, Ray Rice's wife, it wasn't a random incident. It's happened before.
It's happened before. And now you see these football wives coming out. I was watching Fox last night, and Fox had on two of these really lovely women who had divorced. One was Deion Sanders' ex-wife, and I forget who the other lady was. It's just like what we're saying. It's precisely like what we're saying. You get into it, you get into the money thing, and then you start to get into this bubble, and you really don't know what normal is.
Yeah.
And Ron, not to kind of go off on a tangent here, but you know what one of the most unreported crimes is out there is domestic violence on men.
Yeah.
And every time
are you okay, Ron?
Why'd you dress me?
And I'll be honest with you. I will have cases.
Because we've been noticing the bruises. I just.
I'll have cases, Dave. And I don't know if I should be saying this.
Fall down, Dave.
I won't mention any names, and I won't. But just historically speaking, I've had cases over my 25-year career where I'll have a victim of a male victim of domestic violence, and the attorney will say, hey, look, talk to this victim and tell him to grow a set of balls.
It's different.
Wow. Right. Don't show,
that's
come
not
on.
Fair to say to the guy.
I know.
Wow. That's not fair
it's
to
not
say
fair.
To the guy.
No. So it's
but I understand why it would be said.
Right.
But.
Yeah. So
it happens.
Absolutely.
It does happen.
You ever been slugged by a woman, Ron?
I mean, what?
Ever been slugged by a woman?
Yes.
Dave, you ever been slugged by a woman?
No.
Really?
No. No? No?
Yes, I have.
I have too. I've been a victim. I'm admitting on the Ron Van Dam podcast that I am. I've been a victim of domestic
violence.
Didn't
have a serious relationship with the person, but she smacked me because of something that occurred.
It wasn't.
What?
It wasn't. Ms.
No.
Ms.
No. No. No.
No.
No.
Because,
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So what if a woman comes after you and attacks you, right?
Well, it depends.
And you restrain them.
How is she attacking you?
All right, say a woman comes after you and she's slugging you. This didn't happen to me. I'm just curious.
Well, you've got the right to defend yourself.
Yeah, you have the right to defend yourself.
To stop the threat.
But then what if you throw them in like a rear naked choke?
No, you can't hurt
them. Now, does that cross the threshold?
Well, no. Just basic self-defense law, it doesn't matter if she's a female or a male.
Right.
You're allowed to protect yourself in a reasonable fashion.
Well, she would have to show some kind of mark, wouldn't she? because she could always lie and say, he hit me. No, I was just restraining her.
No, she doesn't have to show a mark. It's her own testimony. But the, but the point is...
Yeah, but who's going to win that testimony?
But the point is, if you're a guy and a lady starts coming after you when she's not armed or anything, then just cover up and get out of there.
Right.
Just cover up
Grow
and leave.
Some balls.
Just cover up and leave. You know,
get some balls.
Well, he had no marks. That, you know, buy that was one of the things. Did Ray Rice have any marks on him? Because she was seen kind of... coming after him,
right.
You know.
So doesn't matter.
There's no self-defense. You
know,
that's
you all right. The lady weighs, you know, 130
pounds.
You're
not supposed to touch females. So that's
soaking
pretty
wet.
Much
you know
it.
What? Take a shot. You know, take
you're not
a
touchable.
If she hits you a couple of times,
don't touch them.
You absorb that and you leave.
I teach my kids kill them with kindness.
That's
they come
right.
after me. Let's give you a hug and kiss you.
Give you a
tell
hug.
You
right.
I love you.
Right.
That's right.
Well, don't touch them.
You don't ever want to lay
treat
hands.
Them like they all have herpes. Grow some balls.
No, he's right.
Yeah, I mean, he could have treated her like she was a linebacker and just kind of juked her.
He could have just stood there and let her hit him.
And stiffed on the door and got out the elevator.
He could have just said, oh, that hurt.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, or
and
run away,
left.
Take your bruises and make
leave.
A claim if you want
Do you think the
to.
NFL had the video? Goodell said he never saw the video, but do you think the NFL actually had the video?
No.
And that someone maybe leaked it? And sold it to TMZ?
I don't know that the NFL had it, but I believe that at the time that Goodell was making his first punishment, I think that they knew that a video existed.
Well, they knew the outside video existed
of
her being dragged.
I think that they knew that an inside, because NFL security, NFL security works
they
with,
known.
Works
yeah.
with works with FBI, works with DEA.
They are they're all ex-FBI.
Homeland
FBI.
Security.
They're all ex-Homeland.
I mean, you know, they all, you know. It's beyond my belief that they didn't know that an inside video existed inside that.
They're 100 times more powerful than TMZ.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And,
do you watch that show, the TMZ show?
Yes, I do sometimes.
I can't watch that
No?
show. No?
No.
I start to watch it, and then I realize it's ridiculous.
I find it to be sad.
Yeah.
Well, Harvey, what's his name? Is that his name?
Harvey.
Harvey.
He's the lead guy in the show.
He
right?
creeps me out. That dude creeps me out.
He's a guy on People's Court.
That guy stands there.
Right.
That guy stands there and yaps like what he's talking about is meaningful and excellent news reporting.
Bunch of twits sitting around
and
in the studio.
He's a freaking gossip. He's a freaking gossip hound.
Well, he gives the public what they want.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It creeps me out. Yeah. I don't like it.
Yeah, one of my pals used to get paid big money from the British tabloids to locate people. And, I mean, that's what he does for a living. And he was actually the one that located Monica Lewinsky right after the story broke with President Bill Clinton.
Really?
And was able to, to get her on the phone and found out where she was and gave that information to the British tabloids. And he got paid handsomely.
Cool.
You know, so nice. I mean, yeah, it's horrible. I mean, no one has ethics anymore, right?
No, the Kardashian show is doing well, as David said earlier.
Kardashian show is doing
There's
very
absolutely
well.
No reason for that whatsoever.
She has a store in the Mirage Hotel in Vegas
sure.
that is like
sure.
the Kim Kardashian store right in the Mirage, and it's just filled
fruits,
with nothing.
It's the fruits of her non-labor.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant.
We're out of time.
What are we doing wrong?
We're not doing anything wrong, my brother. We are living.
We live with ethics.
Stand up. Clean.
That's right.
Wholesome.
Well.
For the most part.
Well.
Whatever.
Well.
Thank you. David Casella, Attorney David Casella, or just David Casella, and Mark Schepeda, who's also a private investigator.
Thank you.
You guys, thank you. Maybe we'll see you next week here at Charlie's Restaurant. Thank you for listening. Every soul is a wonderful day. We all wish you some form of peace.